You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. Welcome. Thanks for joining us again. We greatly appreciate it. Also appreciate the reviews, and we really appreciate the feedback for some of you have been giving us, including what you've been discovering on mapping applications and other things. We love the feedback, so thank you very much, and welcome to another show.
Yeah, welcome indeed. This is episode 877, and as always, we're glad that you're spending a few minutes of your day with us. We really, really do appreciate it, and like Paul said, I appreciate when you share, tell us what you're thinking, ask questions, which we'd love for you to do at AskDroneU.com. We know you have one, if not several, and so do a lot of other people that are thinking what you're thinking and may not have whatever it takes to send in the question. So be the one that does so everyone gets the answer.
Definitely make sure you get the answer. Can you get the answer to today's part 107 question, though? That is the true question. I also want to say how excited and happy I am. Someone recently this weekend said, you know, hey, someone was posting about where to go for a mapping class, and a bunch of people said to check out Drone U. So thank you very much. Really appreciate that. All right. According to 14 CFR Part 107, what is required to operate a small unmanned aircraft within 30 minutes after official sunset? A, use of a transponder. B, use of lighted anti-collision lights. Or C, must be operated in a rural area.
No idea. B.
B. Wow. Do you just guess lucky every time?
Well, no, I try to think logically.
Yes, the answer is B, use of lighted anti-collision lights. If you're getting ready for your Part 107 recency exam, don't forget to check out the Drone U community. Just go to droneu.education. Try it out for a dollar today. Just go to droneu.education. All right, Mr. Rob, what do we got in store for today?
Hi, guys. It's Josh here from the United Kingdom. Just a quick question for you today regarding the growth of a new drone business. I know a lot of people ask questions about growing the business and making the most of the opportunities, but I just wondered how you guys see the scope and the opportunity to grow. How would you best scale your business? Say if I start off in real estate and I take the footage myself, obviously, and edit it and learn how it operates. In terms of expanding, would you bring a new drone pilot on board to take over that, you know, the basic roles, and then maybe I'll focus on the harder jobs and maybe the inspection side of things and where there's more money? Or would you bring in a specialist that knows how to produce 3D models? And I guess this is whether you can afford it or not, but how would you expand your business organically and make the most out of what's out there and the opportunities? Thank you very much, guys. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you.
Thank you, Joshua. It's a great question. The thing about it is there are a lot of different ways to approach the answer, I think.
Yeah, I think there are. I think this is also a great one for you to kind of chime in to talk about the business course, which is now on the site. But one of the things that I think is so important in answering this question is, number one, understanding the stages of a company, which he's talking about, you know, which niches do I go after? Do I bring someone else in? Do I then use my extra time after bringing someone else in to like deep dive into a new niche? Do I buy a bunch of equipment, buy a specialist? What do I do? And I think it's, again, a fundamental issue of being able to scale your business, identify what verticals you want to go after, and then also identify the competition in those verticals and identify the profit margin in those verticals. And sometimes those verticals can just stumble upon you by accident. I mean, It definitely has for me, that's for sure. I mean, It's funny, PJ always says whenever he's trying to give me some crap at a restaurant, which he does frequently, thank you, PJ, and he says, I'll never forget that one time on the show where you're like, drone mapping, who's going to learn drone mapping? I'll never do that.
And you then said that?
I did say that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I guess I flip flopped on that one.
Lesson learned. Well, maybe.
Well, hopefully, that's the idea here.
A couple things come to mind. Number one is, as much as possible, I like the idea or the philosophy or perspective of learning what you're going to have somebody else do for your company. And I think there certainly comes a point in any organization where the idea, right, is that you hire people that are smarter than you and or better than you at doing the things that you're not going to do or you don't want to do. So I understand that element of building a business as well. But in terms of the foundational elements of your business, such as understanding the hardware itself, the drones, how to capture the right kind of shots, whether it be images or video, understanding the basics at least of something like mapping and inspections and these different areas that you're talking about, the more you understand about each of those, the better it's going to be for you to hire somebody that can do it well.
Could not agree more. I definitely think you should definitely be educated in whatever you're hiring out. That is so important. I have made that terrible mistake in trusting someone else to run a new vertical of our company, and I didn't deep dive on it myself, and I regret that decision all the time.
Yeah. And again, I think that there reaches a point where take a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, for example. That person is a visionary, right? And they're going to understand the vision and the overall direction of the company and where they want to take it and some of the idiosyncrasies of how that's going to happen. They're not going to understand the deep dive information on the IT that is necessary to make that happen. They're going to hire somebody who's excellent at that and they will take care of that. So there is a point at which that transition occurs in any new company, I think, and it's going to be different for every company, depending on you, depending on what you're doing within that company, the kind of business that you're seeking out, what your base knowledge is, what your propensity for learning is, and frankly, what you enjoy. Because one of the reasons that you're doing this, I presume, is because you want to enjoy what you do and you want to enjoy where you go every single day to make a living, right? And so definitely you're going to have to balance that what you enjoy in the beginning versus what you just need to learn. But when it comes to, say, for example, hiring a specialist, I would probably warn you against that in the early stages of your company, again, unless you understand pretty deeply what they're going to be doing for you. And people might disagree with that. That's my feeling on that. But one of the things that he didn't mention in kind of the conversation or the question about building the business and scaling is somebody's got to make time for sales and beating the streets and doing all the networking and making the relationships. And that's probably going to be you.
Which is also probably the most important thing that you could be doing for your business. I mean, we just had a conversation about this morning on our morning walk.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we just talked about this and how important it is. Don't let me stop you. You're rolling right now. This is so good. I'm glad people get to hear from your heart every once in a while because you've got a lot more depth and knowledge than I do.
I don't know if that's true. But no, I mean, that's really what I wanted to say about that. I think that, again, I just want to stress, find what it is you enjoy. Focus on that. Learn what you need to learn in the other areas. Like Paul said, I think one of the things that it's really hard to plan for, I mean, certainly you want to do the best you can to plan and kind of look at your future and what you think your business is going to look like. But every single plan that is ever created, if it's a good one, has a lot of room for flexibility. Because I mean, we could do a whole show, if not a series of shows, on work that you started doing that led to work that you never thought you'd do. Which really includes the mapping part of it.
Yes.
And I think that's probably how mapping happened was, hey, can you do this? And then so you like to deep dive and you're good at it. So you deep dive and then say, heck yeah, I can do that.
I didn't do that at first. That was the mistake that I made is I didn't really deep dive the first time. So
let's talk about that. When you say deep dive, define that.
Gosh, when I mean deep dive, I mean, you know, this goes back to the theme I was talking about last year, which is database decisions, you know, and when I talk about deep dive, when we're talking about deep diving in a niche and scaling your business, there's a couple of things you need to do. One, define the audience. Two, define the market capacity. You know, just like there are surveys all the time where you can see how many restaurants per capita there are. So I think, for example, I was looking at Santa Fe recently and there were like 262 restaurants per 100,000. People, you need to start looking at your business opportunities in the same mindset. What is the actual capacity of the business? If you're looking, let's say you want to do solar inspections. How many solar companies are there in town? How many people are they servicing? What is the total capacity of your business? What is the actual likelihood that you're going to help that company save money? And with solar inspections, it's kind of an easy sell because one of the biggest problems is people maintaining their solar panels. And as I was just filming a ranch with infrastructure, I could see some of the issues with some of the solar panels that were out there with my thermal camera. And a solar company would love working with you because if you are hired by them to do a solar survey of, you know, existing solar panels and you find problems, you're going to be bringing in revenue for that company. Mm-hmm. You have to define what that value is to the company in a dollarized amount. That's really important. So I'm just giving this solar example as a way to say, define the audience. So solar companies, who are they helping? What's your actual value to them? How many solar companies, again, are there? How many people are they servicing? Is it really a value add for your company? You have to deep dive on, I mean, I think about this as like, is the stock market almost, mm-hmm. you know, how many panels are they selling? How many installs are they doing? What is the average disposable income of the person who buys solar panels? And then what is the displacement of that type of person in your statewide? Are you living in an area that's very heavy in that type of homeowner with someone who's making $150K a year, lots of disposable income, typically leans left, is very suitable? Look, I'm not trying to label people in left or right or political or non.
But stats are stats.
Exactly. This is why data is so important. You know, people, Facebook, just like Elon Musk said when he was talking to Joe Rogan, Facebook, social networks, they're all data miners. They're just mining data to then sell that data to people who want to sell you stuff. That's yeah. why, I mean, I said on Facebook, the most valuable thing that you guys do is your data.
That's why the biggest industry moving forward is computing, mm-hmm. stated generally. One of the things that comes to mind when you talk about the solar industry is if you could figure out in that particular example how, and I don't know how this is done, and I don't know to what degree you have to be an electrician or understand electronics, et cetera, but if you could figure out when a panel goes bad, how is the efficiency of that system affected?
Again,
such that
yes.
you're giving that company information and more data to take to customers and say, look, when a cell goes bad or a couple or whatever the number is, this is what happens to your efficiency. This is what it costs you. The more that, like Paul said, the more you can monetize these things, the more success you're going to have selling these
things.
Yeah,
I mean, like, what story are you essentially going to tell? You know,
exactly.
I think that's really important. So, because if you're not telling an adequate story, then you're in trouble. So, yeah.
Yeah, so progression. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying the story has to be told in a dollarized amount. What value are you giving them? And if you can take it deeper to the client, like you just said, it's even better. But going back to the fundamental heart of this question, which is, should I pick someone? Should I, you know, how do I scale my business? This all comes down to systems. You've got to be creating these systems. What is the client journey if they're buying your real estate photos? How are you going to scale that? If it were me, I think the answer to your overall broad overarching question is do not bring in a specialist. Work your systems so that they're so efficient you don't need to be there, which is ultimately, if you're going to ever sell this company, that's where your business has to be. No one's going to buy your company if you're the sole reason it's running. If you're a sole proprietor and you have a great business and you're doing $600,000 a year, but you pretty much are the heart and soul of that business, everyone knows you, no one's going to buy your company. And then you're going to
be a lot tougher for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So by developing these systems, you also make your business more valuable, not only because you're going to be able to bring in more revenue over the lifetime of your company, but you're also going to be able to exit your company if you ever need to do so for family reasons or a pivot or a change of pace or whatever. So I would create systems. What is the client journey? If I'm a 90-year-old grandmother and someone wants to buy something from XYZ drone company, then, you know, what is that journey from start to finish? How am I following up with the customer? How am I then bringing the customer back on board for further jobs, getting feedback and survey and data from that customer, and then bringing them into my newsletter over time? So it's got to be this cyclical cycle.
And by the way, if the system isn't written down, mm-hmm. it doesn't exist.
Ooh, I like that. Well, so let me, you know what? You bring that up. What's a great solution to write down your systems? Because this is something that I've struggled with for a long time. And I think it's something that you have struggled with me, is understanding that there's just miles and miles and miles of subconscious thought processes and no way to like organize them or showcase them to you in any way. So finally, one time, and you can just tell that I'm getting excited about this just because simply how fast I'm talking. But one time I wanted to showcase Rob and Tim all the things I wanted to accomplish with Drone U in 2018, and I knew it would be a little overwhelming, so I made a mind map. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I printed it
in MindMeister.
In MindMeister, yes. .com. And it was so big, it covered the entire door of the entryway to Drone U.
I think it freaked Tim out so much he tore it down.
He did. Oh man. And now I use mind maps for everything, and MindMeister is honestly a fantastic application. They have an iPhone app now that I use all the time. In fact, here's our Drone U Elite training system, which I did show in that webinar last week. Mind maps are really awesome. MindMeister is my personal favorite mind mapping software because you can print things out. It's very shareable. It's very easy to use. And you can color code things, add comments. Like it's really awesome. And that's a great system to have. You should literally talk about what is your business, what product or service are you selling? And that should be like half your mind map. And then going into the client journey of all the things you're selling, how are you doing survey? Are you doing feedback, intake surveys, exit surveys? What's your follow-up? What's your email funnels? I mean, you can connect this whole thing together. Then on the second side, it's how are you building relationships? Because half of it is how you're doing it, and the other half is why. Because this is going to really be the driver of your company. Mm-hmm. You've got to be thinking about, who do you want to help? Why do you want to help them? Who are they helping? What's your value proposition? And then that way you can kind of visualize the different verticals of your company. And I think that that would help out significantly. So,
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And we go into that in the business class, but I don't want to go too deep into it here. But understanding why you're going to do what you're going to do, or why you want to do the business that you're talking about doing, and how you're going to make a difference through that business or that opportunity is really important, because that's what's going to drive you when the times get really, really hard, because they will. It's just the nature of having a business.
True. No, that's 100% true. So going back to his original question, Rob, do you think that he should hire a specialist, scale via systems? I mean, what do you think he should do?
Definitely think no to that. To the first part of that question, I think that find what you enjoy. It sounds like you're thinking about getting started in real estate, which we all know is relatively low-hanging fruit. That market, of course, is getting a bit more saturated. I don't think it's overly saturated. Some might disagree with that, but I think that's just a function of doing it better than the other people that are doing it, making sure you understand the interior elements of real estate shots as well, not just the exterior and flying. But get really good at some niche so you can start generating revenue and building a portfolio, and then maybe delve into one or two other verticals that interest you, or that you find there's an opportunity for wherever you are, because that opportunity quotient, if you will, is going to be different for everybody depending on where you are. If you're a place where there's resorts, or if you're up in the Montana or Wyoming part of the states, maybe there's oil and gas. So there's just different things that you can do. Or if you're in Arizona, maybe there's a lot of solar that you can do. So figure out what the opportunities are, and hopefully you enjoy those and get good at those. And then as you start to have more opportunity within those different verticals, that's when you might think about bringing on somebody to help that you can teach to fly, and you can teach to do the part that it's not necessarily the part that you don't enjoy. It doesn't always have to be precipitated by that. It could be, it makes the most sense in terms of what is the best use of your time relative to have somebody else do that. So maybe that is just flying and teaching them how to use the apps to create grid missions or whatever, so that they can go out and fly and bring back the data. You analyze it together. You start to teach them that. So it's sort of a stepping stone process whereby you're learning and then you're mentoring somebody else to learn. And frankly, the more that you think about this in terms of, I'm going to bring people on and teach them and give them opportunities to expand their horizons, understanding that you could literally drive them to have their own business, I think you kind of have to be okay with that, because you want to teach them so well. And by the way, when you're teaching, you're going to learn more. And there's no better way to learn than to teach. So if you can teach somebody to a degree where they could go create their own successful business doesn't mean they will, but you want to give people that kind of opportunity. You're going to get incredible loyalty when you're investing that much into people. That's how I would grow and scale as much as possible, is bring people into your business family, so to speak, and improve their lives. And then they might have new interests, right? And then they might take on a new vertical that you would have never taken on. And that's sort of another element of what Paul was talking about earlier, is you don't even know what's going to come your way. But for me, I like building that infrastructure through that just fundamental strength of the organization, as opposed to just bringing in an expert to go do something, at least in the first few years of your business. But I would love to hear other people's thoughts and other people's experiences as it relates to that question.
Wow. Wow.
I love this stuff.
I love you for loving this stuff. As you can see, guys, it's going to be a really powerful business course. And if you haven't checked it out, you definitely need to. And before we go too deep on this rabbit trail, do you give them anything? Any last words? Just one sentence summary?
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Ultimately, it comes down to you making it happen.
Yep. It's not about having time. It's about making time.
Execute.
Yep. And systems. Habits form routines, which form systems, which don't exist unless they're written out and unless someone can follow it without you being there.
Exactly.
So anyway, on that bombshell, that is going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.